Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
You don't need Netflix to be working to catch our show this morning. Good morning. Welcome to the huddle. If you watched the fight on Friday night, good for you. I did not watch. I tried to watch the fight. We ended up watching it on my phone. And I'm speaking of the Jake Paul Mike Tyson fight. Netflix was having major issues. I've heard from all across a lot of people saying that there were some issues with it. We will have Caleb Truax on, former IBF super middleweight champ. I believe he was a middleweight champ.
Super middleweight. Yep.
Yep. Super middleweight champ at 10:30 rather. So he's going to join us to talk a little about that fight. Pete's back from Paris. How was your trip?
It was phenomenal. This was all part of down in Florida. We did this. We're part of this charity down there, the Naples Wine Festival, and it was phenomenal, Dave. It really was. The trip was great. It gave us the opportunity to bounce around a lot. We were in Bordeaux, and then we were in Burgundy, in a great little town called Beaune, and then we got over to Paris. And Paris was beautiful, although my wife and I kind of agreed on one thing. Paris for us was kind of New York with a French accent.
Yes, I've heard.
We kind of liked we loved the quaintness of so many of the towns and going around and the opportunity to go to different vineyards that are hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of years old is pretty incredible. When they're telling you that this came from, 300 AD, you're looking at it going, wow.
That's so cool. What a great trip. You missed quite a bit. I don't know if you've caught up. I'm sure you've caught up at this point. After a tough loss last week, the Gophers lose to Rutgers, which we kind of dissected that game last week. So I want to look forward here as the final two games for the Gophers are Penn State and Wisconsin, which, let's be honest, are two incredibly challenging opponents, especially if you consider the way the team played last week. They did a lot of good things. They certainly they held Ethan Kaliak-Manis, I think, more in check in the second half. But let's be honest, Drew Aller is not Ethan Kaliak-Manis in Penn State. And I'm curious, Pete, and I'm going to ask our audience this as well. As you look through these final two games, the percentage that they win them all, that they win one, or that they win none of their final two, and showing your work, please give us a call or a text on the stylesfinancial.com talking text line, 651-461-9226. Chances the Gophers win all their last two, both of their last two, one of them or none of them. Pete, what do you think?
I think Penn State's going to be a challenge for sure. We all know that they're very good. I don't think they're the Penn State that we've seen in the past that was really incredibly dominant. They've had a lot of closer games than I think all of us would expect. But that being said, they only have the one loss, and that was, I think it was at Ohio State. But either way, they lost 20-13, and they've got another great tight end that they just put out a tight end very much like Iowa does almost every year into the NFL, who's big, strong, fast. He leads the team with receptions. The one thing, if I just go back to Rutgers for one second, I don't understand, and I'd love to ask you, Dave, because I did not get the opportunity to watch any of the game at all. But I looked at it as it was progressing on my phone, and Kaliak-Manis had a great game, probably his best game, I think, of the year, a Big Ten game anyway. 240 yards, three touchdowns, the one interception. But the problem that I didn't understand was, why did we only run the ball 12 times? That's unheard of. I mean, I know we've all been sort of, or many people have been critical of PJ for a long time. Hey, all you do is run the football. You don't throw the football. Well, Brosmer threw it 45 times. So he answered that bell for us. But the problem was that we couldn't stop the run. They got great opportunities. They ran for almost 140 yards against us with the two running backs that were going back and forth. And, you know, that was one thing we looked at was the defense. And we've liked the defense. The defense had been better and better and better. And we had the four-game winning streak and all of that. And it was great. But we seemed to stumble there. And I blame part of it, at least, on some of the play calling. And we were giving them all the credit in the world for the play calling in many of the other games, whether it's Maryland or Illinois or UCLA, USC, Michigan. But I think in the Rutgers game, I don't understand why we only ran the ball, you know, a handful of times. You watched it probably. Does it make sense why we were?
Well, it only makes sense, and we talked about this with Andy Greeter last week, that the offensive line did not look like their best by any stretch. I think the Rutgers defensive line looked stronger, and I think that they had trouble getting away. But I honestly, because even Brosmer a couple times was on the run. And so the offensive line, I think that, to me, that was the issue, is they just couldn't block very well. They didn't block very well. And a couple of the plays could have materialized into more, I think, had the blocking schemes been a little better. Maybe they were impatient on it. And you know, P.J. Fleck, we talked about this last week, he said after the game, you know, I didn't prepare them as the coach, and we talked about how we feel about that kind of out at the end of a game. But I do think that maybe there should have been some more adjustment. What bothered me more than anything, Pete, and I'm sitting there watching it, and I watched the first play of the game, and the first thing I thought as to this game, and I thought, they're going to bring the house to Ethan Kelly-McManus. Because we know what the blueprint is. You know what it is. Rush him. Yeah. Pressure him.
Give him
pressure. Will fold. Yeah. And they let him get comfortable. And then in the second half, it got a little bit better. I think that same blueprint needs to be used against Penn State. You've got to pressure Aller, although he doesn't make a lot of mistakes. He's only got 5 interceptions this year. He's a pretty good quarterback. And to your point, and I knew you'd bring it up, that Tyler Warren, that tight end, is incredible. He's got 800 yards receiving. He's got 157 rushing yards. I mean, he can even run the ball. And when you have that safety out like Aller has, that's going to be tough to get to him to make a poor decision when your second or third option is your leading scorer and your tight end.
Well, and I think absolutely, Dave, when you broke it down perfectly. You really are a football guy, man. You've got.
Oh, thank you. I appreciate that.
but honestly, when you look at what the tight end's been able to accomplish, that obviously we're going to have to do something scheme-wise as a defense to get in the way of that. Not stop it completely, but we got to slow it down. And if we can do that, that gives us a fighting chance. They've got two running backs, too, that are outstanding as well, Allen and Singleton. So the thing that stands out for me, though, is their defense. Their defense is outstanding. It's typical Penn State where they just are loaded. They're number 8 in the country with points allowed. So that gives you a little bit of an idea of just how good they are. They don't give up very many yards. If we can mix it up a little bit, I think that and you said that offensive line just didn't show up, and we've had the bye week. Now we get the opportunity. I think that's something where we've got to obviously get the offensive line moving and give us an opportunity to get 4 yards, not asking for 10 yards a carry, but if we can just get 4 yards, get them off onto their heels just a little bit and mix up some of the play calling as opposed to just completely abandoning the run and going just for the pass, we have an opportunity. I think the realistic side of me says that I had the 8 wins. Now we've got 6, and the next 2, I don't think we do. But I think we can split it because Wisconsin's okay. They have no offense at all. They can run the ball a little bit. The quarterbacks are typical Wisconsin quarterback. So I think we've got an opportunity there if we're looking ahead. And I think it could be pretty interesting. You know, Wisconsin gave Oregon one heck of a game yesterday.
Yep, I was just going to bring that up. They nearly beat Oregon. It was a good game. I also think that I'm really intrigued to see where Darius Taylor is next week. He did not look healthy at all last week. He did not look like himself, and we've got some texters saying that it was not his best performance, clearly not healthy. Bummed out that the Gophers seem to stub their toe every year and lose a game we should win. That loss zapped a lot of the excitement for Penn State. You know, again, and it's funny that that's brought up, Pete, Because I look at these last two games and I think, yes, the Gophers usually stub their toe at some point. But they always, at least in my time here, they always tend to steal one that they that maybe they shouldn't or you don't think that they will. I don't think that's Penn State. I do think it's Wisconsin. I really do. I think Wisconsin played out of their mind yesterday. I think that was their best game. And that performance is going to be tough to duplicate. And I think they beat Wisconsin. I do think they lose against Penn State. But I think they take Wisconsin that last game of the season.
I totally agree with you. I look at it as Wisconsin is first of all, it's an absolute need for a win. And second of all, I think it's something that's not out far-fetched. They literally had three drives yesterday against Oregon that really gave them the points that they needed, gave them the opportunity to be there, to be in the game, and they played extremely well. I mean, you've got to give that to them. But I think when you really look at it right now, is their offense something we're scared of? It shouldn't be. We ought to be able to stop them. We ought to be able to stop the run. Wisconsin just hasn't had a quarterback since I don't even know when. But I think from a defensive standpoint,
maybe Russell Wilson.
Well, that might be true. Yeah, you might have to go all the way back to that when he transferred from North Carolina State or whatever and got up there and had an unbelievable season, which got him into the NFL. But it is interesting. That's probably the last quarterback that we can even name. I mean, if you go back to even last year or the year before, you probably couldn't name the quarterbacks because they've had so many that are just average and they always run the football. But if the Gophers can get off the field, not give up a 13-play, a 9-play, 16-play drive, which is what they did yesterday to Oregon, which surprised me because Oregon's an unbelievable team. And one of the things I've said all year is I don't know if there's going to be a team that's undefeated by the time we get to the end of the year. I still think that that's a possibility that we won't see that. But again, that goes back to what you and I were talking about a couple weeks ago, which is the portal. And how impressive it actually has been in terms of giving everybody in the country opportunity. And, that was the one thing that I looked past. So I give all the credit in the world for this portal because it's created a lot of different, teams that never were there before. Indiana, are you kidding me? Indiana's 10-0, Dave.
Portal and NIL, right?
Yep, it's unreal.
Think about this. The Big Ten might be the toughest conference in the nation. They have the number one team, the number two team, and the number four team, all in the Big Ten.
Indiana's number five, I think.
And Indiana's number five. You got it. Yep. And I mean, Illinois was ranked at one point. The argument's always going to be there for the SEC, and I get that. But this is while it's not good for the Gophers, this season has been great for the Big Ten.
Yeah.
So we'll take a break and come back. I want to get your thoughts on this, Pete, that Deion Sanders is now pleading with the media to not judge him in the Heisman voting. And I have some very strong opinions on this, and I would love to get your take as well. You are listening to The Huddle. We'll be right back.
Sit up here and get no message, no Heisman voters is undecided. If they can't see, they can't see. It is what it is. I mean, Travis is who he is. It's supposed to go to the best college football player. I think that's been a wrap since, week two? So we ain't petitioning for nobody. We ain't doing that. We got a wonderful display of cameras here, and I think we're on national television every week. If they can't see it, there's a problem. Don't allow their hatred for me to interfere with our kids' success. They got to stop that. Y'all got to stop some of y'all like that. Y'all got to stop that, man. Get the kids what they deserve, man.
And therein lies, Pete, the problem with being Deion Sanders. And that is, you can't have it both ways, Deion. You can't torch the media, and he's done it multiple times. You can't continue the polarizing personality, and he will. This is who Deion is. But if you do all those things, and he's referring to Travis Hunter, who by my last check is quite the favorite to win the Heisman. I think the closest to him are Dylan Gabriel, Ashton, is it Jeanty in Boise State, and actually Curtis Rourke in Indiana. But if you're going to be that guy, if you're going to be that heel personality in wrestling terms, if you want, and that's truly what he wants to be, that is who he is. He's a tough guy. That's what he is. You can't then tell the media, well, don't judge him based on me. Don't let my hatred for him, for you, for me, overshadow him. But you've created this, Dion. This is who you are. You cannot tell people not to judge based on that. If you don't want that, then don't be that guy. Okay? PJ Fleck, and I'll use him as an example because he takes that onus on him. But he's not a heel. You may not love his shtick sometimes, but he's not angry. You don't dislike him because of his personality so much so that you wouldn't vote for a player for an award, because PJ Fleck understands that. He understands the marketing of the program. He understands how the personality and the leadership of that program reflects on the rest. But Dion can't be, you can't be that guy. You can't be the heel. You can't be the bad guy and then say, well, now wait a second. Be nice to him, even though I'm his coach. Just ignore what I've done. It doesn't work that way, Pete.
It's pretty amazing, isn't it? Are you hearing me pretty well, Dave?
Yeah, I got you.
Okay, good. I think you're right. You're exactly right on all counts. I think if you want to portray yourself as this particular guy, that's the way it's going to have to be. And the criticisms that he's had, and it's almost a thin skin, I would almost call it, for what he's been, you know, accused of here and there, and some of the things that he's done and what he's said. And it really puts Travis into a spot that he has no control over that. But that being said, you're right. He's a kid who's up for the Heisman Trophy. And matter of fact, speaking of up to, everybody's talking about Deion Sanders is going to be the next coach of the Dallas Cowboys, right?
So everybody's
that's out there. I mean, they continue to talk about that. And obviously, I think Dallas is going to make a change at some point. Maybe it's the very end of the season. But if not, whenever that is, I think that he's definitely somebody that everybody's considering now a candidate for that job. So that could get interesting as well. But he probably does belong more on the pro level than the college level. And I don't mean that in terms of the talent that he has, but right. I mean that more that of what he is and how he projects himself. And it's much more of an NFL thing than an NCAA thing. I look at Ashton Gentry, by the way, as the guy. I know everybody – I'm into the two-sport or the two-position that Travis Hunter has. I think he's unbelievable. He's done a really great job with all of that. But the problem for me is I look at Gentry and I think, wow, this guy truly – has numbers that are up there like a Barry Sanders, it's undeniable what he's been able to accomplish this year. He is going to be an incredible pro at some point whenever he gets up to the NFL.
And Travis Hunter's numbers are eye-popping, you know. And now, granted, they're beating the likes of Central Florida, Arizona, Cincinnati, Utah. I mean, these are not powerhouse programs, but he's putting up the numbers.
And just so everybody keeps it in mind too, because people could say, well, how about the three interceptions? Did you see who was throwing the ball for Utah? It's the third or fourth quarterback on the roster. They've had injuries there. It's been a problem all year. Utah obviously had that incident the week before with BYU, and everybody was talking about that. But the quarterback position for them has really been difficult. It causes them to not be the Utah team that we've been accustomed to watching, and they certainly aren't at the level that they have been. So it was a great victory. It's a victory you have to make, but at the same time, the three interceptions, I don't know that was so great on the part of Travis Hunter, or was it more on the side of you've got a freshman quarterback in there who's launching the ball wherever he can find somebody before he gets hit?
If Deion goes to Dallas, you think his first meeting will be, if you don't like the way I'm doing things, go ahead and become a free agent and leave? How'd that go over with Jerry Jones?
Yeah, I think you're onto that. And I think Jerry Jones probably would. I think he'd almost enjoy the challenge of having Deion if indeed he were to do that. Yeah, I mean, it gives focus to America's team again, right? I mean, they've kind of fallen off, especially this year. Nobody's talking about the Dallas Cowboys other than the fact that they just don't seem to be able to get it going on offense or defense this year. It's amazing.
I will liken back, and I believe I've used it before on this program, Floyd Mayweather, when talking about his boxing. People pay to watch me win. People pay to watch me lose. But either way, people are paying me. I think Jerry Jones probably subscribes to the same theory of
This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. the plug-in hybrid X5 commanding the streets with unmatched presence, and the all-electric i4 charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Kind of circus and attention, but...
This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.